Chapter 35. Madagascar, Indian Ocean. "Do you really think they will?" Remy asked when Sam climbed back into the car and recounted the conversation. "I don't know, but if he thinks so, he'll be more likely to keep his mouth shut. I hope." Remy leaned over and kissed Sam on the cheek. "That was a good thing you did, Fargo." Sam smiled. "Somebody probably offered him a month's salary to just follow a pair of tourists. Can't blame him for that. If we're going to get intercepted, the car will probably come from one of three blacktop roads he mentioned."
"Agreed."
Remy unfolded the map and studied it a moment. "Saiafahi is south of Antananarivo on Route 7. If we can get there..." "How far to the Saiafahi turnoff?"
60 kilometers.
"About 37 miles. Another 20 to Saiafahi." Sam nodded and checked his watch. "We might make it before nightfall." Almost immediately they realized their optimism was probably unwarranted. Past the bridge, the road continued to wind through the jungle, a mix of gentle bends and switchbacks that slowed their pace dramatically. They passed the first blacktop road intersection without incident and soon found themselves driving along a boulder-strewn river, the same one they assumed they'd crossed 30 minutes earlier. "Next intersection coming up," Remy announced. 2 miles. 5 minutes later, Sam saw the intersection. Remy pointed through the windshield.
"I saw something. A flash of sunlight."
"It's a bumper," Sam said between his teeth. "Duck. If we're not a couple, maybe..." Remy scrunched down in her seat. As they drew even with the blacktop, Sam pressed himself back into the headrest and cast a glance out Remy's window. The vehicle, a dark blue Nissan SUV, was parked on the shoulder a few feet back from the intersection.
"What's happening?"
Remy asked. Sam glanced in the rearview mirror. "He's pulling out. He's behind us." Remy sat up, grabbed the binoculars from the floor between her feet and focused them through the back window.
"A driver and a passenger. The silhouettes look male. I see a Europe car rental sticker on the bumper."
"All bad signs. Are they speeding up?"
"No, just keeping pace."
"You know what they say, Sam. For every rat you see..." He nodded. If, in fact, this Nissan was pursuing them, the chances were good there would be a second and perhaps a third car up ahead. "How far to the next blacktop road?" Remy checked the map.
4 miles.
It took nearly 10 minutes to cover the distance. A few hundred yards behind them, the Nissan was still matching their speed. Remy alternated between checking the map and studying their possible pursuers through the binoculars. "What are you expecting them to do?" Sam asked with a smile.
"Either go away or raise the skull and crossbones."
"Intersection's coming up. Should be around this next bend." Remy turned to face forward. Sam took his foot off the gas, eased the Rover into the turn, then accelerated again.
"Sam!"
50 yards away, sitting broadside across the road, was a red Nissan SUV. "There's your skull and crossbones," Sam called. He eased the Rover slightly left, taking the center of the road, and aimed the hood directly at the Nissan's passenger door. He stepped on the accelerator, and the Rover's engine roared.
"I don't think they're going to move," Remy said, hands braced on the dashboard.
"We'll see." Remy glanced over her shoulder.
"Our tail has closed the gap."
"How close?"
100 feet and coming fast."
"Hold on, Remy." With his thumb depressing the button, Sam lifted the emergency brake handle. In the space of 2 seconds, the Rover's speed dropped by half. The Nissan's driver, seeing no brake lights to alert him, was slow to react. The Nissan loomed in Sam's rearview mirror. He jerked the wheel right, tapped the brakes, and the Nissan swerved left to avoid the collision. Sam glanced in his side mirror and saw the Nissan coming up alongside. He yanked the wheel left and was rewarded with a crunch of metal on metal. The red Nissan filled the Rover's windshield. Sam torqued the wheel hard right, swerved around the Nissan's bumper onto the shoulder, then drove back up onto the road.
cut it a little close there, Fargo, Remy said. Sorry about that. Do you see the blue one? Remy checked. He's still there, about 200 yards back. The red one's getting turned around. Within 2 minutes, both Nissans were back on their tail and trying to close the gap. While the Rover's engine probably had more horsepower, the Nissan's lower center of gravity gave them the advantage on the corners. Slowly but steadily, the Nissans ate up the distance. Ideas? Remy asked. I'm open-minded. Remy opened the map and began tracing her finger along their course while murmuring to herself. She pulled one of their guidebooks from the glove compartment, flipped pages, and continued murmuring. She looked up suddenly. Is there a left turn coming up? We're on it now. Take it! Sam did as instructed, braking hard, then slewing the Rover onto the intersecting dirt road. A sign flashed past. Lac de Montessoa. Lake Montessoa? Sam asked. Are we going fishing? They've got ferries, Remy replied. She consulted her watch. Next one leaves in 4 minutes. Sam checked the rearview mirror. The two Nissans were skidding into the turn. Something tells me we're not going to have time to purchase tickets. I figured you could pull off something tricky. I'll see what I can do. The road devolved into a series of descending switchbacks bordered on both sides by steep embankments. The jungle canopy closed in above them, blotting out the sun. They passed a brown-painted sign with a yellow P, a car pictograph, and 50M. Almost there, Remy said. Let's hope for a busy lot. Sam brought the Rover through the last switchback, and the road widened into a small parking lot covered with diagonal white lines. To the right was a forested embankment. To the left, beyond a strip of well-manicured grass, was a river, this one flat and calm. There were 8 cars in the parking lot. At the far end, sitting before a wall of trees, was a gazebo-like ticket hut. To the right of this was what appeared to be a service road blocked by a chain draped between 2 fence posts. I don't see the ferry, Sam said, accelerating across the lot. It just left, Remy pointed. To the left of the ticket hut, Sam saw a fan of froth on the river's surface. He rolled down his window and they could hear the distinct overlapping chop of paddle wheels. They're here, Remy said. Sam glanced in the rearview mirror. The blue Nissan accelerated out of the last switchback, closely followed by the red one. I've got a tricky idea, Sam said. Or a really dumb one. Either way, it's better than sitting here. Sam slammed the gas pedal to the floor, swerved around the parked cars like a slalom racer, then bumped over the curb and onto the grass before the ticket hut. The tires slipped on the damp grass, the rear end fishtailed. Sam corrected, eased right, and aimed the hood at the entrance to the utility road. Cross your fingers those posts aren't buried deep, he said. Here we go. Remy hunched down in her seat, braced her feet against the dashboard. The Rover's bumper crashed into the chain. Sam and Remy were thrown forward against their seatbelts. Sam's forehead bonked into the steering wheel. He looked up, half expecting them to be sitting still, but was instead greeted by the sight of tree branches whipping past the windshield. Remy checked the side mirror. Both entrance posts had been uprooted like rotten stumps. Are they following? Sam asked. Not yet. They're both still sitting in the parking lot. Good. Let them debate it. What Sam had thought was a service road was, in fact, little more than a rutted trail barely wider than the Rover. As in the parking lot, the right side was bordered by an embankment. To the left, through a veil of trees, was the riverbank. He gripped the steering wheel tighter and tried to keep the Rover from lurching off the path. You've got a knot on your forehead, Remy said, touching the spot. What's the plan? Get ahead of the ferry and race to the next landing. That's where you and your guidebook come in. She began flipping through it. It's less than thorough, I'm afraid. There's no stop listed? Remy shook her head, then checked the map. And according to this, there's no road. Interesting. We're on a road that doesn't exist, going nowhere. Are our friends non-existent as well? Remy glanced back and ducked her head this way and that to see through the trees. No, sorry. They're coming. The ferry? No, I don't... Wait, there it is. About 200 yards behind us.
Her eyes brightened.
It's a Mississippi-style sternwheeler, Sam.
The track slanted upward, and the ground grew more cratered until the rover was bumping over exposed roots. At the top of the rise, the ground flattened out. Sam slammed on the brakes. 20 feet ahead stood a wall of trees. Paralleling this, a hiking trail. Sam said, "The trail to the left. Goes down to the river."
Sam shifted the rover into park and pushed the tailgate button. The tailgate popped open.
"Take everything we've got."
They gathered their belongings, raced around to the back, and grabbed their backpacks. Down the slope, the blue Nissan rounded a bend in the road and started climbing. Sam handed Remy his pack.
"Can you manage these?"
"Yes."
"Run."
Remy took off. Sam returned to the driver's seat, switched the transmission into reverse, then jogged beside the rover, steering until the rear tires bumped over the lip of the slope. He slammed the door and jumped aside. The driver of the Nissan saw the rover rolling toward him and slammed on the brakes. The transmission ticked as he switched into reverse. Behind him, the red Nissan came around the corner and skidded to a stop.
"Too late," Sam said.
The rover's back tires bumped over a bundle of exposed roots. The tail vaulted, then crashed down onto the Nissan's hood. The driver's door opened. Sam drew the Webley, crouched down, fired a round into it. The door slammed shut. Sam adjusted his aim, put a bullet through the red Nissan's hood for good measure, then turned and ran. Sam caught up to Remy a minute later. They'd been mistaken. The trail didn't go down to the river, but rather over it. Remy stood at the head of the footbridge. As Sam drew alongside her, she handed him his pack. Behind them, through the trees, voices called to one another in Spanish.
"Looks sturdier than the last bridge," Remy said.
The construction was remarkably similar. Planks, crossbeams, ropes, and 2 suspension cables.
To their left, they could see the bow of the ferry coming around the bend, its funnel belching black smoke. Aside from 12 or so people lining the rails and a few on the forecastle, the ship was empty.
"Come on," Sam said, and took off in a sprint, Remy at his heels. They stopped in the center of the span. The ferry was 100 feet away. Sam looked back down the bridge. Through the trees, he glimpsed movement, arms flailing. Someone was trying to climb the slope. Remy was leaning over the handrail.
"The drop's too far."
"To the forecastle it is," Sam agreed. "See the upper deck behind the wheelhouse? It's 15 feet, maybe less."
"Why not the wheelhouse roof? It's only..."
"We're trying to stow away."
"Wave, Remy. Attract attention."
"Why?"
"Rivera's less likely to start shooting if he's got an audience."
"Always the optimist." They started waving, smiling, hooting. People on the forecastle and along the rails saw them and waved back. The ferry's bow slid beneath the bridge.
10 seconds, Sam told Remy.
"Hug your pack. As soon as you hit the deck, bend your knees and roll into it."
"Okay, up you go."
Sam helped her over the guardrail.
"Ready?"
Remy gripped his hand.
"You're coming, right?"
"Absolutely. When you're down, find some cover in case they start shooting." The wheelhouse roof disappeared beneath their feet, followed a moment later by the funnel. Black smoke billowed around them. Sam glanced left. Through the haze, he saw Itzley Rivera skid to a stop at the head of the footbridge. Their eyes met for a moment. Then Sam turned away, gave Remy's hand a squeeze, and said, "Jump!" Remy fell away into the smoke. Sam felt the bridge shiver beneath his feet with the pounding of footfalls. Rivera and his men were coming. Sam climbed over the railing, looked down. Through the gaps in the smoke, he saw Remy on the deck, scrambling clear on her hands and knees. Sam pushed off. He hit the deck hard, bounced once off his pack, then rolled right. From out of the smoke, Remy scrambled forward and latched onto his forearm.
"This way."
He followed her, crawling blindly until he bumped into what he assumed was the wheelhouse's aft bulkhead. They sat together, gulping oxygen until their heart rates returned to normal. Now that they were past the bridge, the funnel's exhaust cleared. 50 yards away, Rivera and three of his men stood at the bridge railing, staring down at them. One of the men reached for something in his belt and pulled out a semi-automatic pistol. Sam reached into his own belt, drew the Webley, held it above his head in profile, and gave it a waggle. Rivera barked something at the man, who holstered his gun. Sam said, "Wave to the nice men, Remy."